Now we're holding on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, the fifth line. We learned yesterday a discussion about now the Torah tells us that a man's wife's mother and grandmother are also to him, and that there's a chiyuv sreifa for them, as we learned in the Mishnah. On the other hand, a person's mother is also to him, and there's skila, but a man's grandmother is not also to him. Daraisa only derabanan, she's one of the shnius. So we were working out why that should be so. Why don't we compare his relatives to her relatives? So Abaye had said there's a miut in the pasuk, and Rava had worked out in detail that it wouldn't work to if, even if you were gonna, we had brought a gzeira shava that conceivably could be used to darshan it, but you can't because Rava pointed out that gzeira shava, no matter how you work it out, it's not going to work out to result that his mother's mother is going to get sreifa. In the various ways, either we're going to say Sreifa is more serious than Skila, and then like Reb Shimon holds, and then it's not going to work because for one thing, his mother is if his mother there's Skila, then why should there be Sreifa, which is with his grandmother, which was only she's only his grandmother by virtue of his mother being his mother. So how could it be a harsher punishment for one generation further back and other things like that? And he worked out in detail why it wouldn't work to say that. So now the Gemara continues in a similar vein. So now let's try like this. E mahu kalosa asura, afhi kalosa asura. Maybe we should make another comparison between his relatives and hers. His own daughter-in-law, if he's mezana with her, then there's skila. On the other hand, her daughter-in-law, if it's not his own, of course, in other words, his stepson's wife, is not only there's no misa, it's actually mutter altogether. It's called Eishes Chorgoy, the wife of his stepson, where the stepson is not biologically related to him. It's only his wife's son, and there's no Isurin involved. So why do we say that? E mahu kalose asura, afhi kalose asura. Why don't we say that the same way as his daughter-in-law is also to him, and there's a chiyuv misa, the same way hers? So again, a similar kind of thing. Omar Abaya, Omar Kro, Eishes bin Chahi. The pasuk says she is your wife, she is your son's wife, and the he is a miut. Mishum Eishes bin Cha, at mechayva, you can only be mechayva him when it's his son's wife. V'yat mechayva mishum Eishes bna, but you can't be mechayva him where it's his wife's son's wife. And again, now in the case of the grandmothers, then at least you have Shnius Daraisa. But here the Chachamim didn't find a need to make a Gzeira to make a Gzeira Drabanan about it. Rava Omar, Rava says again, if we work out the way that a Gzeira Shava works, then we're going to show that it's not possible for it to be learned out that way. Now Tosfos points out that fine when there's a chiyuv misa, then we can use the gzeira shava. What Abaya is saying over here is that what Abaya is saying over here, since we don't have anything in the pasuk to suggest that there would be a chiyuv misa for his wife's son's wife, then therefore so the gzeira shava tells us that in fact there isn't one, and then it's completely mutter. We're not even going to say that there's an Isser. Rava Amar, but Rava says there's another way that we can show that it wouldn't work. Bain lamanda oma dun mi no mi no, bain lamanda oma dun mi no v'uki ba'astra loy astra. It wouldn't work out according to either of the major opinions about how a gzeira shava works, as we talked about yesterday. We have Machlokas, Reb Meir, and the Chachamim about it. The main place it comes up is in Masechta Shavuos, which we'll get to later this year, Be'ez Hashem. But you have like this: when you're making a gzeira shava from one thing to another, do we say that you're obviously learning out the one particular detail that it says in the source and applying it to the target? Yes, that's the whole point of the Gzeira Shava. The question is, are we then also bringing over other things, or which is called Dun Mina Umina, learn from it, learn from the one thing to the other, and then Umina, and continue learning from it through the Gzeira Shava? Or do we say Dun Mina, we learn the one particular detail that it says there for Uki Ba'astra, but otherwise we leave all of the dinim of the target, all the details of the target din, the same way as they were originally? So now Rava is going to say that according to either of those opinions, it wouldn't work out. Lamanda Amar Dun Mi No Mi Na. If we say that we learn the Gzeira Shava and we continue learning from it, meaning we learn as many details as possible from one thing to another, It wouldn't work. You would start by saying Mahu kalosa asura va'afhinami kalosa asura. You'd start with the logic saying what we're trying to prove, that just like with him, his daughter-in-law is also to him, so also with his wife. Umina, then we and you'd use the and you'd use gzeira shava for that. Gzeira shava that we said before, that allows us to compare his relatives and his wife's relatives. The problem with that would be if we tried to use it for this, umina, so now again, following the opinion of Rav Meir, umina, we would say, mahu b'skila afhinami b'skila. You would say that just like with him and his daughter-in-law, there's skila, so also with his wife's daughter-in-law, there would be a skila, there would be skila. The problem with that is, lamanda om a skila chamura, if you say, like the Chachamim, that skila is the more severe penalty, more than seifa, ikka lemifrach, then you could shlug it up and say, that's not a valid comparison. Because consider, with him himself, if he has relations with his mother, there's skila. So how do you compare it then with his wife, where if he has relations with her mother, then the punishment is sreifa? So in other words, you would say that would demonstrate, therefore, that there's a chumra in his own relatives over his wife's. Skila versus Srefa. So therefore, there's no basis to compare that. You should say on the basis of this Gzeira Shava that you should compare and say just like his daughter-in-law, so her daughter-in-law. Tosfos had pointed out yesterday, by the way, that the Gzeira Shava we're talking about over here on the word Zima is not Mufne Mishneitz Dodin. It's not unnecessary in both places. There has to be at least one of these psukim where it's actually necessary for the simple meaning of the pasuk, and therefore lemeidin and meshivin, we can learn the gzeira shava, but we can also shlug it up and show that it doesn't apply. So that's what we're doing over here. We're showing that it can't apply to this case because of this logic. Va'oid, and also another reason why it wouldn't work. Another reason it wouldn't work. Bita b'sreif of a kalosa b'skila. What would be the logic? If he's mezana with his wife's daughter, then there's sreifa. And if he's mezana with his wife's daughter-in-law, then there's skila. Why should the daughter-in-law be more serious, be more severe than the daughter? Okay, the Gemara says that one's not really a proof to the contrary. Hu ba'atzmei yichiach. Nu, look at his own relatives. With his own relatives, it's the same kind of thing also. The daughter is sreifa, the daughter-in-law is skila. So no, that's not really a major objection to say that there shouldn't be such a thing with his daughter with his wife's daughter and daughter-in-law as well. Okay, fine, Ella, but still, we can slog it up in another way. Mahu lechilakta boy ben ima lekalosei. Just like with him himself, there's no difference between his mother and his daughter-in-law. In both cases, there's skila. Afhila tachlik boy ben ima lekalosei. Then you would have to say that with her, there should be no difference between her mother and her daughter-in-law. And since with her mother, there's sreifa, it would have to be with her daughter-in-law, there would also be sreifa. The problem with that is, again, that in that case, if you're trying to learn from his own daughter-in-law, his own daughter-in-law is skila, and so you're anyway not doing dun mino. So that being the case, so according to that way of looking at it, you wouldn't be able to learn this gzeira shava or lamanda or masreifa chamura. And then if you follow Reb Shimon and say that sreifa is chamura, then fine, you don't know the first question. But mehay kusha lo nidonin, based on that second question, that the fact is one way or the other, you're not going to have them be the same anyway. Then you can't learn this gzeira shava and say that his wife's daughter-in-law should be also, and that there should be a chi of misa involved, because anyway, based on the logic we just said, the chi of misa wouldn't be the same. So therefore, once we're not saying that the misa is the same, we're not going to say that the iser is the same either. All right, that's all within the opinion of Reb Meir, that we say dun mino, that when we do a gzeira shava, we try to learn as many details as possible from one to the other. Now, what about Olamanda Oma Dun Minov Uki Ba'asra? What about according to the Chachamim who say we make a Gzeira Shava, we're going to leave the dinim of the target as much as possible the same. We're only going to learn the one particular din. So, in other words, according to that way of looking at it, we would be saying we're going to learn the Isser, we're going to learn that there's a Chiyuv Misa and the Isser from one to the other, but not necessarily the actual method of Misa. It's possible for them to be different. Well, still, it's not going to work. You would start by saying, "Mahu kalosa asura, hi kalosa asura." You'd start with the logic that his daughter-in-law is also to him, and therefore so is her, so is his wife's. V'uki ba'asra, we would try to leave, other than that, the dinim in place, meaning, in other words, that. So we would say that that we're only learning the one din that it's asur. But other than that, we wouldn't say there's the other than that, we wouldn't learn the chiyuv misa. Well, then hosam hu de beskila, therefore only by his daughter-in-law is there skila. Aval hocha b'sreifa. But you would say that if his wife's daughter-in-law were to be also to him, you would say that there's sreifa. Kida ashkhan be'ima, which then that would make it parallel to her mother. Fine, so that removes the other objection that we said that that the daughter-in-law is supposed to be the same as the mother. Still, it's not going to work. Lamanda om a skilla l'chamura, according to the opinion that skilla is the more severe punishment, ikla mifrach, then you could slug it up. Malah hu shekein ima b'skilla, madach with him, where if he's mezana with his own mother, the skilla, toima b'hi she'ima b'sreifa. Then how do you compare with her, where her mother is, where her mother is with sreifa? So in other words, already you're showing, therefore, so again, you're saying, in other words, that there's more of a chumrah with his relatives than with hers. So therefore, we should have every reason to say that there's more of a chumrah with his daughter-in-law over her daughter-in-law. And furthermore, you'd have the question, Mahu chilakta by bebitla kalosai, just like there's a distinction with him between his daughter and his daughter-in-law, sreifa for his daughter, skila for his daughter-in-law, afhi tachlik ba ben bitla kalosa, the same way with her, with his wife, you should have to make a distinction between her daughter and her daughter-in-law. Where's your source to say, in other words, that there should be any iser in it at all? So, after all, we're saying dunminav uki ba'asra. We're leaving all the other dinim alone, and we don't have a source outside of this to say that that her daughter-in-law should be also in the first place. Rashi says basically that what we're saying is, if you're going to say that we're going to learn one from the other, you're going to have to say, look, with him himself, we see that there's a chumrah over his daughter-in-law more than his daughter, because his daughter there's sreifa and his daughter-in-law there's skila. Well, if you're going to do such a thing like that, then if you're going to say dun mineo mine, dun minova uki ba'asra, you're still going to have to learn that there's some kind of chumrah with his wife's daughter-in-law over his, and we don't really have any source for that. So therefore, it wouldn't work. So again, so lamanda so so lamanda om a skila chamura ikla mifrach malahu. Wait, did I skip over here? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, let me see. So lamando am a dunminova uki ba'asra mahu kalosa asura fi kalosa asura for uki ba'asra. We're going to try to leave other than that the dinim in place hosam hu beskila avol hocha besreifa kedek ashkochan beima. Yeah, lamando am a skila chamura. So if you say skila is more chamur ikal mifrach, you could slug it up. Malahu shekein ima beskila with him his mother there's skila toima behi sheima besreifa, whereas with her with his wife the mother there's sreifa, and that's a lighter punishment. So therefore, you see that there's a greater chumrah with him over her. Va'oid, and furthermore, mahu chilakta bay ben bita lakalosai, just like with him, there is a distinction between his daughter and his daughter-in-law. Afhi tachlik ba ben bita lakalosa, the same way with her, there has to be a distinction between her daughter and her daughter-in-law. And we don't really have a basis, therefore, for saying that we don't have a basis for saying that it should be also at all. There's no particular reason to say that it should be more stringent. We're not going to apply the missa from one to the other, because we're saying dun minav uki ba'asra, we're looking over here. So therefore, we're not going to say, just like with him, it's sreifa for the daughter and skila for the daughter-in-law, the same way it should be for her. We don't have any basis for saying that. That itself is what we're trying to prove over here, that it's osur. And if you say that sreifa is more stringent, then that's all. That second question is also a reason not to learn it, because how could you say that with his daughter-in-law there should be a more that with his daughter-in-law there should be a more a less severe punishment of skila versus sreifa? Anyway, we see that we can't so we see that we're not comparing his wife's we're not comparing his wife's daughter-in-law to his wife's mother. Because again, you're going to say, what would you say? There would be Scylla. You can't learn it because you can't learn it if Scylla is less severe than Srepha. Where again, we're saying with his own, where we're saying that with his own daughter and his own daughter-in-law, you have the punishments of Scylla and Srepha respectively, but with his wife's, it wouldn't work. So Rashi types us out on that last one. In other words, what makes you say that you're going to say that it should that it should refer to that when we say Dunminov Uki Ba'astra, we're going to still learn his wife's relatives from his own and say that and say therefore that just like. And say that we're going to compare his, and then say that his daughter-in-law is going to be like his mother. Doing me, where in the case of his own daughter-in-law and his own mother, there's both Scylla with them. Uki Ba'astra was still where we have to leave the rest of the dinim of the target in place. So therefore, we're going to say her daughter, his wife's daughter, there would be Srepha. Then that her daughter-in-law should have to be Scylla. But that's not going to work. Doing me no, where we're going to say. That we're going to learn, we're going to learn that we're going to learn. We're going to say that there is a difference. That just like with his daughter-in-law, there's a more severe punishment than with his own daughter. The same way with his wife's. The problem with that is that the problem with that is that you can't you can't do that because that wouldn't be. Rashi explains that wouldn't be dun mi no mi no. That wouldn't be learning from the Gzeder Shava again and again. You're going to say you are going to say fine that just like with him, you're saying that that one is that the daughter-in-law is more stringent than the daughter. But if you're going to do that, then the most you could do is say that the daughter-in-law should be the same as her mother, just like his daughter-in-law is the same as his mother. So now the problem is again whether we say Skila is more chomer or whether we say Srepha is more chomer, either way that doesn't work out because unlike with his own mother, where there's Srepha, with his wife's mother, unlike with his own mother, there's Scylla. With his wife's mother, there's Srepha, and therefore that whole comparison falls apart. So again, Rava is saying that if you look at it logically, you're not going to have this comparison that you want to have as between his daughter-in-law and his wife's daughter-in-law, and therefore, so unlike with the mothers, so with the mothers, the Torah says, or we learn from Gzeira Shavas, as we learned before, that it applies equally to both of them. Actually, his mother and her mother, it says explicitly in Psukim. His grandmother versus her grandmother, one is Osim in HaTorah, and the other one is Osim D'Rabbanan as one of the Shnius. But when it comes to his daughter. Daughter-in-law versus his wife's daughter-in-law, we don't even have a reason to say that there should be any comparison as far as even an issue at all, and the result is his wife's daughter-in-law is actually mutter to him. So it wouldn't work. Fine. Okay. Now, we discussed in the sugya before that now the Mishnah had mentioned that his daughter is also to him bitoy, and we said now you can have where it's his daughter, where it's also his wife's daughter. Then the Torah spells out clearly that she's also to him. But then you can have a case where it's his daughter, but not his wife's daughter. And the typical example that the Gemara calls it is bitoy ma'anusasai. So he was never married to her mother in the first place. That he was ma'anus her, which any could obviously any other kind of relationship outside of marriage would be the same thing. Nevertheless, that daughter is also to him, but it never actually says in so many words that in the pasuk. So how do we know bitte ma'anus sasaminayin? How do we know that even in that case, this is his daughter? He was never married to her mother. How do we know she's also to him? I'm gonna buy a kal v'chomer. So Abaye says you can learn it by a kal v'chomer. Al bas bitei onush, al bitei lekoshkin. If he's punished for having relations with his daughter's daughter, then how much more so with his daughter? How is this his daughter's daughter only by virtue of her mother being his daughter? So therefore, says Abaye that you can learn a kal v'chomer and say that the same punishment should apply to both of them. Tosfos actually points out that there's a different Gemara that where Abaye learns it from Gzeira Shava. So Tosfos leaves the question open. So the Oruch HaNer over here explains that That it mean not Abaye is not the Gemara doesn't mean over there Abaye is learning it with a Gzeira Shava, but that we're saying that we're learning from Bnoyu Bas Bitoy, which the Gemara had said earlier was from Gzeira Shava. The Gemara had explained that as far as his own the fact that he that was his oh, the fact that he's also to have relations with his own granddaughter is that it says in the pasuk. The fact that there's a chiyuv misa that we had to learn before from a gzeira shava. In turn, we can learn his daughter from that as well. So it means, in other words, there's a gzeira shava, and according to Abaye, in addition, there's also a kava chomer, to learn his daughter. So Abaye is saying you learn it from that kava chomer. The Gemara says, how can you punish a person based on a kal v'chomer? We have a general, we have a rule. Now we learned yesterday that according to, or 2 days ago, we said that according to Reb Shimon, you could. Tosfos actually had distinguished over there between there can be different kinds of oinshin min adin. There can be different kinds of kal v'chomers in this connection. But why it is b'chlal that in oinshin min adin, there's quite a bit of discussion why that's so. What exactly is the problem with learning from a gzeira shava, from learning from a kal v'chomer to punish somebody with a certain punishment? So there's a couple of explanations. One of them is so there is actually an explanation that it's a gzeiras hakosef, precisely because, as the Gemara is going to go point out over here, now you have in connection with Arayas, the Torah tells us a man's not allowed to have relations with his sister from his mother's side, and also not from his sister from and also not with his sister from his father's side, and also not with his full sister. Now, why would it need to say his full sister if it already said his sister from his mother or from his father? That already covers his full sister, is a sister from both of them, and that shows, that demonstrates that Eino Inshin Min Adin. So some say that it's just a gzeiras hakosev. That's the way the Torah says it. There's an explanation. That because there might be a pirchater, a kal v'chomer, after all, unlike gzeiras shava, unlike some of the other midas, shatern and drasha spam, a person can come up with a kal v'chomer on his own. Well, then what happens if there ends up being a pircha? If you end up schlugging up that kal v'chomer, then it comes out that you've punished somebody unnecessarily. And then Udiu in the Masechta, Marsha makes a point. Now we had learned a couple of parakim ago about the case of Hanoisin Mizari La Moloch, where a person gives some of his children over to the Moloch ritual, and we said if he gives all his children, then he's potter. And now what's the logic? Why, if he gives some of them, he's chayev? Why should he be potter if he gives all of them? And Marsha explained over there, this is an example of Ein Oinshin Min Adin. You could still say maybe the vote is, he brings based on the smag, that maybe the vote is in that case he did such a serious avera that even the misas based in will not be a kapara for him. So that would be another reason to say ein oinshin min adin. So there's a number of reasons. So you have all these reasons and a lot of other discussion about that, about details within that. So in any case, here the Gemara. So one point is here the Gemara is going to say that gili milsa ba'alma is different. So there is take for example, if you say that Abaye is going to say over here, this isn't really a regular gzeira shava. This is gili milsa ba'alma. This is just like demonstrating that that's how it is. And then the Rama mentions, for example, that listen, it is basic logic. It's not even really a kavachomer. It's more since the Torah mentions his granddaughter is also to him, so the Torah had no need to mention that his daughter is also. So it's not even a real kal v'chomer. But if we go through these reasons that we just said, at least one of them might not apply in this case. If we say that it's a matter of the chumrah of it, maybe fakir, maybe we should argue that with his daughter it's so chumrah that we can't punish him, and we're going to have to leave it up to Hashem because even sreifa is not good enough for him. So there is some discussion how to make that explanation fit with what we're saying over here in the Gemara. Anyway, so the question is v'chi onshin min adin, and Abaye answers again gili milsa ba'al galuya milsa ba'al mahu. It's not really a kal v'chomer. It's just revealing the matter. It's telling us the daughter's daughter, and it's telling us that within that, now why is she your daughter's daughter? Because her mother is your daughter, and therefore her mother is also to you as well. So in other words, like the Rambam says, it didn't have to spell it out because it's so obvious. Okay, that's according to Abaye. Rava Omar, Rava says, and in fact, Rava says, listen, the rule of Ein Oinshin Min Adin has to be stronger than that. Again, here we can use Marsha's Svara, for example, that maybe it's not good enough, and therefore we can't use a kal v'chomer at all, like we learned yesterday. Amalei Reb Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Asya Heina Heina, Asya Zima Zima. We have a double Gzeira Shava over here. We have a Gzeira Shava of the words Heina, where it says, by his own granddaughters, Eras Basbincha, Basbitcha, it says you're not allowed to have relations with them, Ki Ervas Chahena. And then later on it says, Eras Isho Vitalis Gale, it also uses the word Hena, Shara Hena. There it uses the word Zima. And then you have, in turn, by the other Zima, that it says by the punishment that you're not allowed to have relations with a woman and her daughter and her granddaughter, etc. Shara Hena Zimahi. So therefore, so we have the double Gzeira Shava, Hena Hena Zima Zima, tells us to take the word Zima that applies by the his wife's descendants, and there it does mention her daughter as well, and apply it to his own, and the result is that yes, he is Chayiv Misa, he is Chayiv Srefa for being Mizana with his own daughter as well. So not from a kavachoyim at all, but rather from gzeira shavas elsewhere. In fact, the Gemara mentions that you see how important a gzeira shava is. If it weren't for a gzeira shava, we wouldn't know such a basic din in the Torah. And the Rambam, indeed, when, you know, here we just started Shlosh HaProkim of Rambam again and Sefer HaMitzvahs, for those who are doing that. For those who are learning Sefer HaMitzvahs, we're now doing the Shoshim. And one point that Rambam makes there is that, generally speaking, things that are learned with the 13 midos, Shatar and Adreshes Behem, don't usually count as separate mitzvahs, as separate ones of the 613 mitzvahs of their own, unless we have it clear from the Gemara that it's an actual mitzvah of its own and not just a limud that the Chachamim made. So here you have an example of that, where we learn the concept that his daughter was also to him only from a gzeira shava, or a double gzeira shava, as we're saying, and nevertheless it actually counts, that Rambam actually enumerates it as one of the 613 mitzvahs. Fine. So the Gemara continues. Toni Avur de Rab Ovin. The father of Rab Ovin taught further in a Braisa. He was another way of learning that a man's daughter is also to him, and that there's a chiyuv sreifa involved. Because we don't have explicitly in the pasuk any place where it says that his daughter is also to him and that there's a chiyuv misa involved. Therefore, the pasuk has to say uvas ish koyin, that the daughter of a man, a koyin, when she's mezana, then she gets sreifa, as we learned extensively earlier in the Masechta about what the cases are where she gets sreifa. Anyway, the point is, why does it have to say ish? It could have said uvas koyin. So the word ish comes and tells us. I forgot to mention, actually, that where Rashi explains over here. Now, Abaya does agree, in other words, with the basic concept that ein oinshin min adin. Here he's saying gili mil sab alma. So Rashi explains as follows, that when it comes to, let's say, again, you have the Gemara in Makkos mentions about sisters. Now we're saying, in other words, the Pasuk spells out all three of them, his sister, his maternal sister, his paternal sister, and his full sister. Now, and we learn from that, ein oinshin min adin. The difference is, that one doesn't come from the other. Each one is its own independent relationship. So you could argue again, you could argue maybe the Torah is only outlawing a half-sister, but maybe a full-sister. Fine, of course, a full-sister is also a half-sister, but nevertheless, they are different relationships, and therefore maybe you wouldn't know, and you need the Pasuk to actually spell it out for you. Over here, the whole reason why this woman is your granddaughter, and therefore also to you, is by way of her mother, who is your daughter, and therefore, says Abaya, that's enough to be called Gili Milsa Ba'alma, rather than a kavachomer, and therefore Abaya says it would work. The Yad Ramah over here gives other examples of that kind of thing as well. Another example was another example was when we had two dafim ago, we had Reb Shimon Yochai saying that if you can kill a person to prevent him from causing a pogam to a hedyet, from raping a naira marosa or any other krisis or missus based in, then how much more so when he's making a pogam to Hashem? Fine. The fact is that's he held Oinshin Min Adin. The fact is one is not dependent on the other. We can derive logically one from the other, says Reb Shimon, but nevertheless, they are actually two separate actions, as opposed to over here where the granddaughter is tied to him through her mother, and therefore Abaya says that could be considered that kind of thing. We can do Oinshin Min Adin, because not really a din, but rather a Gili Mil Sab Alma. But again, Rava doesn't like that, which is why Rava had to bring the double Gzeira Shava. We actually had before, we had on Ayin Heyom and Beis, Abaya himself uses this Gzeira Shava as well. of Hena Hena, Zima Zima, but nevertheless, Abaya is saying, here, you don't need that Gzeira Shava. Fine, you can use that Gzeira Shava earlier in the Sugya to learn certain other details that we learn that for certain purposes, his relatives and his wife's relatives are also to him in the same way, as we said in the Mishnah, for example, that his granddaughter is also to him with Serefa, and his wife's granddaughter is also to him with Serefa. For that we can use the double Gzeira Shava, Hena Hena Zima Zima. But Abaya is saying here we don't even need it because it's Gilui Milsav Alma. Rava doesn't want that, so therefore he uses the Gzeira Shava in both places. Okay. So anyway, so the Gemara continued. Toni Avor did Rav Ovin. The father of Rav Ovin taught a braisa that learns it differently. Because we don't have an explicit thing in the pasuk as far as the punishment for his daughter from his anusa, where again, in other words, it's his biological daughter, but he was never married to her mother. And therefore, the pasuk says the daughter of a man a koyin. Now, why does it have to say a man? The daughter of a koyin. So it teaches us another din that if she's just the daughter of a man, then already Be'esh Shisarif. So she's his daughter, his biological daughter, and therefore Be'esh Shisarif because we can learn from that a punishment for a man being Mizana with his daughter. So the Gemara asks, if you're going to learn like that, ma baskoyen he besveifa vein boila besveifa, you're going to say that then after all, with the daughter of a koyan, as we learned earlier, she gets sreifa, but the boil does not. And we said the boil gets skila or chenek, depending. We had the different opinions when exactly a bas koyan gets sreifa. In other words, the idea would be this would be a case where under normal circumstances, had she not been a bas koyan, she would be getting sreifa or chenek. She would be getting skila or chenek, respectively, depending whether she's a naira marasa or not. And then in this case, we're changing her to sreifa because she's a bas koyan, according to the various opinions that we learned back on daf nun nun aleph about that. So now, but we learned over there that we're learning Makkos again in a few months, Be'ez Hashem, that only she gets Sreifa, the boil gets whatever the regular punishment would have been at that for under those circumstances. So then, if you're going to learn from the Bas Koyen to, in general, a man's daughter being also to him, then learn the same way. Only she'd get Sreifa, and the boil would not. Whereas the Mishnah had said that, as is the usual rule, both of them get the same punishment. The answer is Omar Abaya, Omar Kroes Avio Himachalelas, because the pasuk says she's desecrating her father, and therefore Be'esh Shisarif, from which we can learn Mishim Chalelas Avia. So you're talking about she's the one who took the initiative, and she was the one who was Mizana. Her father was not involved, and now she desecrated him, which, as we learned before, meant that, among other things, it means that he gets downgraded, that people make fun of him. There's even that he may not be able to duchen or do the avoda anymore, etc., as we learned before. Yotzezusha via Machalala, as opposed to over here, if you're talking about it's with her own father, then her father is the one who's Machalal her, because after all, he's the one who's active and she's the passive one. So you can't learn. So even if you're going to learn from that pasuk the general chiyuv of sreifa for daughter, for father and daughter, you can't learn from that it should apply only to her, because that Savia Himachalala does not apply in that case. Rava says here's a different reason. Because in the case of a bas koyan who's mezana, then fine. What you're saying is that you're taking him out of the din of a bas koyan, the boil, and you're giving him the same din as there would have been by a bas yisrael. In other words, you're saying if he was mezana with a bas yisrael under these circumstances, he'd get chenek or skila respectively, depending whether she's a regular HS ish or whether she's a naira marasa. So you're saying that you're saying that he gets the regular punishment for that case. She's getting a special punishment of Sreifa. But over here, if you're talking about if it's him and his own daughter, Adina Deman Mukmasla, then Adina Deman Mukmasla, then what would be what would be the fallback position to give him a din of the Pnuya Mukmaslay? Then you would have to give him the din of if he had relations with the Pnuya, and he would be potter entirely. You know, there's no logic to say that he should be potter entirely. He has to get some kind of punishment. So at least with the Bas Ishkoyen and her boil, the boil is not getting off scot-free. He's getting the punishment that would have been for that scenario, as opposed to if you're gonna say that the only chiyuv and the only punishment for a man with his daughter is the sreifa for her, especially, and we learn from Bas Koyen to more generally, because of Vas Ish, then the result would be, you'd have to say, look, we're talking about she's a Pnuya, so then her father would be getting away with that without anything, and you can't very well say that. Okay, so fine. So we have, in short, three different ways of learning that there is sreifa for a man and his daughter, according to Abaya from a Kavachomer, not really a Kavachomer, but we said a Gilui Milsa Balma, according to Rava from the Gzeda Shava, Heina Heina Zima Zima, and according to the father of Rabbi Ovin, we're from Uvas Ish Koyen, from that extra word Ish. And Tosfos has a couple of questions on that. One of them being that in that case, then where is Avuah de Rabbi Ovin learning that the same chiyuv sreifa would apply to his granddaughters? And also, we needed the word ish for a different derasha earlier in the Masechta. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says now. Okay, so we've covered the fact that there's a punishment for him with his daughter. Now we have, as we've learned many times in the Masechta, ein oinshin elam kein mazhirin. To give a punishment, there has to have been a warning someplace in the Torah to say explicitly, don't do this. Where is the explicit issue in the Torah for a man to have relations with his daughter? Azhara levitin manu sosiminayin. Where is the azhara? Where is the warning in the Torah to tell him not to do that? So Marsha points out, you can't just say that you learn it from Lois Sinaf, because at least according to Avuah de Rab Ovin, we're focusing on the question over here. He's learning Uvas Ish Koyen. He's learning the chiyuv of a father and daughter from Uvas Ish Koyen. But as we learned extensively earlier in the Masechta, we're talking about that she's an Eishes Ish. Everybody agrees we're talking about she's an Eishes Ish. The machloikas is she only an Arusa? Is she a Nesua? But definitely not a Pnuya. So if we're going to say for her the chiyuv is from leisinaf, but leisinaf applies to an eishes ish, it doesn't apply to an unmarried girl. So where is there the warning in the Torah that if the daughter is unmarried, that there should be an iser for her and her father to have relations? Where are you getting that from? So that's the question. Bishleim ala Abaya v'Rava. So according to Abaya and Rava, it's easy enough to understand. Mehech de nafkalahu oynash mehosam nafkalahu azhara. The same source that they're learning the oynash, they can learn the azhara. Whether you say the gili milsa ba'alma like Abaya, or whether you say the double gzera shava heina heina zima zima like Rava, either way that covers both the azhara and the oynash. Ella Latoni Avur de Rab Ovin, but according to the Braisa of the father of Rab Ovin, where it's Uvas Ish Koyen, and there you're not talking about a Pnuya, my. Then where is the source in the Torah to warn not to do that? So the answer is Omar Abila, because the pasuk says Al Tachalalas Bitchala Haznoisa, do not desecrate your daughter to make her a zoina. So we can learn from that an iser to a father not to be mechalal his daughter with his nus. So the Gemara asks, Maskiflor of Rabbi Yaakov Avur, Maskiflor Rabbi Yaakov Achur de Rabbi Acha by Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov, the brother of Rabbi Acha by Yaakov, asks. So it's interesting. It means, in other words, that he had the same name as his father. Then, unless we assume that Rabbi Acha by Yaakov and his brother Rabbi Yaakov were from two different husbands of their mother. Anyway. So he asks, you're telling me we can use this pasuk to tell us that, to tell us that there's this issue to do this. Don't we instead need those words, altachalas bitchalas noisa, to teach us what it says in a braisa? Namely, altachalas bitchalas noisa, yochol, you would think that means bekoyen amasias biti lelevi v'yisrael akosa bedaber. Maybe the pasuk is telling us that a koyen is not allowed to marry off his daughter to a levi or a yisrael. After all, she becomes to a certain extent mechulal from such a marriage, because now she can't eat truma as long as she's married to her husband, or as long as she has living descendants from him. The Torah Chaim points out, now there is, we have in Parshas Emor, where it does clearly talk about a case of a Bas Koyan marries a Zor and she can't eat from Kodshim. If you're going to tell me from this Pasuk that it's Osir, then why would there be such a case in the first place? So you could distinguish, in other words, you could say that the Torah is telling the father is not allowed to marry her off to a Levi or Yisrael, but if she goes and accepts Kiddushin on her own, then fine, Gesunde Heit, it's a valid marriage. But maybe the Torah is saying that the father shouldn't marry her off and that way remove her Kiddushin of Kohona. No. Talmud Loimar. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Lahaz Noisa. The Pasuk says, it doesn't just say, Al-Tachalas Bitra. It says, Lahaz Noisa, which means, Bechilo Shabiznus, Akosim Medaber. Therefore, the Pasuk is talking about a desecration involving Znus. The Moiser es Bitra, Shaloy L'Shem Ishus, namely, where he gives his daughter to have relations with somebody else, not for the sake of marriage. There is a machlokas rishonim. There was a famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether in general relations outside of marriage are also midaraisa. According to the Rambam, they are, and there's an actual issue of lo yakodesh and lo yakdesha involved in them, and the Rambam holds there would be malchus. According to even when she's a penuya, according to the Ravid, no. The Ravid says that midaraisa such a thing would be mutter, and you have a machlokas that grows out from that as far as a pilagish, where the Ravid says in principle anybody could have a pilagish, and according to the Rambam only a king could. In any case, but here we're saying so even according to the Ravid, though, we'd be saying we're not just talking about where the father gives her to one particular person and they shack up without benefit of marriage. We'd be talking about where she's more freely available to anybody. Even the Ravid would agree that even the Ravid agrees and says so that such a thing is definitely osur. The Rambam, by the way, makes a point in Hilchas Naira Basula. He says the reason why the Torah needs to give this din is because he says, after all, we know a father has rights over his daughter. He can accept kedushin on her behalf and therefore decide when she's a tana or a naira who she can marry. We also have the dinim of the knas of onus and mafata, which go to him when she's a naira or a tana. So therefore, you would think, therefore, maybe. So he's going to think to himself, well, then if I have such rights over her, then I have the right. Also, for example, I can accept, instead of accepting money for kedushin, I can accept money from somebody to have relations with her outside of marriage. Or I can tell somebody, you know what, go ahead and be mafat to her. Listen, you're going to owe me money for pitui, but instead I'm moichu you that money, because after all, the money was going to go to me anyway. So therefore, the Torah knocks all that off by saying, al tachalas bitcha las noisa. And the point of it is, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that you don't want promiscuous relations like that outside of marriage. You're going to wind up that people are not going to know, the children are not going to know who their fathers are, and the result is that siblings, half-siblings, are going to end up meeting up and marrying one another without knowing it, and there's going to be tremendous pritzus and mamzerus and so forth. Anyway, the point is that pasuk is talking about that he's not allowed to give over his daughter to somebody else for relations outside of marriage. So therefore, so what are you using it to tell us in addition, a separate iser that he can't have relations with her? The answer is, imkein lemakrol al-tachel. Then the Torah, to tell us that, could have said al-tachel, which also means don't desecrate. My al-tachalel, when it says with two lamids, shmamin al-tauti, therefore we can learn both dinim. He can't give over his daughter to other people, l'shem znus, and in addition, he himself also can't have relations with her. The Gemara had done a similar thing earlier when we talked about, for example, the Isser to curse Dayanim and also to curse Hashem. We learned from the same Pasuk, Elikim Loise Kalel, because we said also, because it says to Kalel with two Lamads, and we can learn two Dinim from it. You have the expression that it says that Yafasichosin shall avde avis mitarosin shall bonim, that we see that, you know, here the Torah goes into great length repeating over and over the story of Eliezer with Rivka, whereas we have basic dinim of Torah that are learned from only one letter. These are examples of them. So the Gemara says Vabaya v'Rava. So what about according to Abaya and Rava, where they say we don't need the extra lamed we don't need the b'chlal the al tachalas bitchalas noisa, and they don't need that to teach us the iser, because we said they learn the iser from the gule milsa alma or the gzeira shova, as the case may be. Hi al tachalas bitchalas noisa my avile. So what are they doing with that pasuk? So the answer is, now the question is, in other words, of course, they're learning the Isser from it again. The father can't give over his daughter. L'shem znus. But the question is, what are they doing with the extra lamed over there in Dechalel? The answer is, hi, Omer Abmani, They explain it as follows. Zahamasius bitil zokin. This refers to a man who marries off his daughter to an old man. The Kidatanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa. Al Tachalas Bitchalaz Noisa, Rebel Yezer Omer, Hamasi Bit Zehamasi Bitil Zokin. This refers to somebody who marries off his daughter to an old man. Now the problem is she's not gonna want to be married to him. Because she's young and he's old, so she's gonna end up being Mizana. So therefore the Pasuk is warning, don't make it that she's going to end up being she's gonna end up having this taiva for Znus because her because you married her off to his old to an old man. Now, an interesting question. This is actually brought in Shulchan Aruch, even though it's only Rabbi Eliezer saying it over here. He's not a das yachid, and the Gemara is going to the Braisa is going to go on to say that Rabbi Akiva learns a different thing from it. But in Shulchan Aruch, it actually paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. But there is discussion about it. What about if she wants it? What about if she wants to marry him? So the Rambam, when he brings this din, just says generically, he says that that an old man shouldn't marry a young girl because this causes znus. On the other hand, there is quite a bit of discussion. There's quite a lot of sources that say that she could. The Sefer Chassidim writes it. The Chido actually brings from Ovis Sidim Nosson that Rabbi Eliezer himself married his niece who was much younger than him. And here Rabbi Eliezer himself is saying that no. So we see that such a thing is mutter. So actually the Margolius Hayam points out over here that really, the Gemara is mentioning over here that the father shouldn't marry her off, implying in other words, she doesn't have a say in the matter. If she herself wants to have a say in the matter, if she herself decides, I want to marry this old man, gesunte hei. Yeah, by the way, famously, in one famous example in Jewish history, first of all, we have Boaz and Rus, but in much later times, for example, you have the famous story involving the parents of Reb Leib Saras, where you have the whole story over there, the daughter of an innkeeper, the Paritz was beautiful, the Paritz has his eyes on her, and he's thinking to kidnap her, and then the old Malamed proposes that we do like a mock kiddushin and a mock wedding, so that way he'll realize she's a married woman and keep his hands off her, and then afterwards they say, well, now let's go to Beis Din and get a get, and she says, you know what, this old Malamed was willing to be Moshe Nefesh for me, who knows what the Paritz might have done to him, I couldn't ask for a better husband than him, and they stay married, and their child is Reb Leib Saras. So you have such examples in Jewish history. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden actually gives an explanation over here that when the Gemara says Zokain, it doesn't just mean that he's old in years, it means that he doesn't have Gvuras HaNoshim. He doesn't have the capability to have relations. So therefore, like Rashi is saying, his wife, unsatisfied, is going to go look elsewhere. Mashenkin, if he has, then it doesn't matter how physically old he is, as long as he has that physical strength. Okay. Anyway, so Abaye and Rav are saying that we learn that from this pasuk, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva Omer Zamasha Bito Begeres, and Rabbi Akiva has a different explanation that it means where a man keeps his daughter as a begeres and keeps her in the house rather than marrying her off. Usually, and we find throughout Shas that usually it was expected that a girl is married off when she's a naira. So now she's a begeres. She's already 6 months past her bas mitzvah, past Shtei Cyrus, and already she's considered in the terms of those days like an old maid. So now Rabbi Akiva is saying that if he's dafka keeping her around, figuring, you know what, then I have her to help around the house. So then that's al tachalas brit chalas noisa, because look, you know, without marriage, she's going to go start looking elsewhere. So the Gemara continues, Omer of Kahana, Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Whenever it says Mishum, by the way, means he didn't say it directly in his name, means that there's a chain going back to him. Rav Kahana lived many generations after Rabbi Akiva. He can't have heard it from him personally, so it's Mishum. Anyway, he says, Ein lecha oni b'Yisrael, the only true poor person among the Jewish people is Ela Rosha Orum, is a crafty Rosha. So Mar Shah, by the way, points out, you know, look, she's not in his reshus technically, that he doesn't have the ability to actually tell her, you can't get married. She's in her own reshus. She's able to. But in other words, he convinces her falsely. He tells her, you know what, I'm going to give you a bigger nadin if you wait, etc. So then, but meanwhile, he's only doing it for his own hana, so he has her to help around the house. So anyway, so Ein lecha oni b'Yisrael, ela Rosha Orum, a crafty Rosha. As the Gemara is going to explain, Vamasha Bita Begeres, and where he keeps his daughter as a Begeres and tries to convince her in tricky ways not to get married, and therefore he's promoting Znus, because eventually she's going to say to herself, if I can't have marriage, then I'll have something outside of marriage. So the Gemara asks, Otu Amashi Bita Begeres Lav Rosha Arumu, isn't it the same thing? The whole point is why he's keeping her is as Irma, as trickery. that he's doing it for his own hana, so he has her to help around the house. And like Maharshal says, he's pretending. I'll give you a bigger nadan if you wait, etc. So why is Rabbi Akiva counting them as two separate things? When Abaye says, Hochikama, what it meant, what Rabbi Akiva meant was, Ezehu oni rosha orum, what is a poor person who, as a result of his poverty, is a rosha orum, Zamasha bita begeres, is when he keeps his daughter as a begeres, and figuring that this way he can save on the expenses of getting a maid. But he's doing it as an orum, he's doing it as a crafty person, he's pretending as though he's doing it for her benefit, and really, actually, he's doing it for his own benefit. Tosfos points out the Gemara in Sota mentions there are other kinds of Rosh Orum as well, but this one is specifically an Oni Rosh Orum. The other ones that it mentions over there in Sota, where, for example, a person puts on a show of being frum when he's really not, or a person convinces Yoshim to sell property in certain cases where it impinges on somebody else's rights to it, et cetera. Those have nothing to do with an oni and an osher. But here we're talking about where he's poor. He figures I can't afford a maid, and therefore I'll keep my daughter a begeres for that purpose. Then that's specifically oni rosh ha'arum. The Gemara continues, V'omer of Kahana, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Hevi Zohi min ha'yoetzcha lefi darkoi. Be careful of somebody who's giving you advice that's actually for his own hana. So therefore, this really goes directly, the Oruch HaNer points out, this goes directly with the previous thing. The daughter will hopefully realize that the father is advising her not to get married, not for her benefit, but rather for his own. And therefore, she should realize to discount that advice. The Gemara continues, Omer of Yehuda Amarav, Hamasias Biti Lazokin, a man marries off his daughter to an old man, where as we said, as we just discussed, all the problems with it. Vamasi Ishal of Noikotan, also when a man marries off a wife to his young son, where the son is too young to be doing Tashmish, the same problem then. It makes that now the wife has a taiva for it and it can't be fulfilled. Or also a person who returns a lost object to a goy, as we're going to explain in a second. All of our cost of Omer, on all three of such cases, the Pasuk says that it's a negative thing, to join together the well-watered with the thirsty, the satisfied with the thirsty. Sfois, Rashi explains, is a lotion of joining together. And the rover satsmeya. What happens is, in other words, so with the case of the two marriages, so you have either the wife is young and the husband is old, or vice versa, the wife is of regular age and the son is a cotton. Either way, one of them is fulfilled as far as Tashmish. They have no desire for it yet, or they've already lost their desire for it, and the other one still has a strong desire, and that promotes Znus. And in the case of the returning the Aveda to the Goy, so Rashi explains, he makes it show, therefore, that Hashavas Aveda is not really an important thing as a mitzvah of Hashem, because otherwise, why is he would do it only for Jews? In other words, he's showing, in other words, that it's not an important mitzvah to him. It's just samazo, this is what you do. How is Rava and Smeya referred to Goyim versus Jews? So Rashi explains that Goyim are called Rava in the sense they're not thirsty for a relationship with the Eibishter, whereas we Jews are called Smeya, Samalacha Nafshi, we have a constant desire for closeness with Hashem. So Rashi is saying the problem with returning a lost object to a goy is that, again, that you're showing with that the mitzvah is not really an important mitzvah to you. It's just samazo, you just do it like as a social thing or something. The Rambam gives a different reason for it. Shemachazik yidei over avera. He's strengthening the hands of people who do avera in the sense, what is the goy going to do with this money? He's going to use it for avodah zarah or other negative purposes like that. Now, there is considerable discussion about that, because elsewhere the Gemara explains that if he's returning it, the Rambam brings it based on other Gemaras and all the posts can bring that if he's doing that, if he's returning it in order to make a Kiddush Hashem, then it's a very good thing indeed. We have several examples in the Gemara of that kind of thing. Famously, for example, with Shimon ben Shatach and his Talmid buying him a donkey, and they found the jewel around its neck and they returned it and it made a Kiddush Hashem. The Arab merchant says, blessed is the Jewish God. The Gemara gives a number of other examples like that, and then vice versa. If it's known that a Yid found it and will make a Chil Hashem for him not to return it, then also there's a relevant Gemara in Bava Kama that says that he has to return it to avoid that Chil Hashem. In practice, also, so first of all, many times nowadays, the fact is, you return something like that, it has the capability of making a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. You have some years back, for example, there was this big thing going around where a Jewish family had bought a desk and they found like $98,000 stuck behind a drawer, and they tracked down the original owner and returned it, and it made headlines all over the world and made an enormous Kiddush Hashem. In addition, also, I mean, there's points about this, the Be'er HaGolah on Shulchan Aruch, for example, points out that nowadays that it's generally accepted by the goyim also that you have to return lost objects. It's considered a basic normal thing of society. Then therefore, when you're returning it, is not what the Gemara is saying over here, as opposed to back in the day, the general understanding among the goyim was finders keepers, or even the Gemara mentions there were places where they had the rule as anything found goes to the government. So therefore, so in places and times like that, you didn't return the thing. Listen, they're not expecting you to return it anyway. It was considered a normal thing not to. So therefore, if you're returning it to them, then either, like Rashi says, it's like you're showing the mitzvah is unimportant, or like the Rambam says, you're unnecessarily strengthening them. But again, when you have nowadays the goyim, by and large, believe in Hashem, and they consider it's part of their ethics and morals also return to a lost object, then you should do that. And again, when there's a Kiddush Hashem or a Chilul Hashem, then you definitely have to anyway.
They try the groceries to an Empire Kosher. They try to leave extra coins in the slot where the machine comes out. See if the next
If
one
the next person will take them.
Choose money.
So there's an interesting point in that, and that's something else. There is something called Tos Goy. That we learned about that in Bava Kamma. There is something called Tos Goy. When a Goy makes a mistake in a business deal, are you obligated to return it to him? So basically, the Gemara had said over there, you may not be able to keep it unless, to begin with, you told them, listen, I'm relying on your cheshbon, and I'm not going to double check your cheshbon, and if you make a mistake, then it's not my responsibility. So then you made it clear that then you made it clear because that he you can't be that he's testing you or anything like that, because to begin with, you're telling him you don't plan to second guess. I mean, in Empire Kosher was a Jewish store anyway. You're not taking from the goyish till workers. You're taking from the store itself, so you may not be allowed to. But there is also, I've told before in this shiur, a famous story involving Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was a rav in the late 1930s. He was a rav in a small town in Lithuania, and the goyish postman over there, was doing that. He was sometimes leaving extra change for the Jews to see whether they're going to take it. And then a yid goes to Rabbi Yaakov to ask him a shaila, and Rabbi Yaakov explains to him, based on these dinim of Tos Goy, that you can't do that. There's the possibility that he's doing it in order to test us, and you didn't tell him, and therefore you have to return it. So the upshot of it was that when World War II broke out a few years later, this postman became one of the Chassidei Umos HaOlam and worked very hard to save Jews from the city, from the Nazis, because he realized that, Jews are honest, and you should try to save them in whatever way possible. So those few cents, those few kopkes, whatever it is, that they returned him saved a lot of Jewish lives. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So incidentally, also in that connection, another thing worth mentioning from Be'er HaGolah, he mentions, so again, you have these dinim of Tos Goy, but the Be'er HaGolah says, he says, I know personally people who figured Tos Goy, listen, the Goy made a mistake in the calculation. I may as well keep the money for myself. And they earned fortunes from it. But then he says those fortunes never lasted. They always ended up losing it because they got it in this dishonest way in the first place. Whereas he says, on the other hand, he says, I know people who are scrupulously honest with such things, and they to bench them. Okay, getting back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Mesvi. So I have a contradiction. So you're telling me that it's not good for him to marry off his children young. But a braisa says, a man loves his wife like his own guf, and he shows her honor even more than his own guf. So for example, machabda kegufoy would be, for example, getting him, oyevas ishte kegufoy would be, for example, loving and appreciating what she does. Machabda Yosemin Gufoy would mean, for example, getting her nice clothing, even nicer than the clothing that he gets for himself. When he guides his children on the right path, and when he marries them off shortly before their age, shortly before they come of age, so that, namely, the age being 13 and 12, respectively, so that they don't come to hear her chet. So this way, by the time they start having thoughts of of hirhurim, they're already married, and they can satisfy that in a heterdika way. All of Akosav Omer, the Pasuk says about such a person, V'yadaita kishalom ahalacha, you will know that your tent is at peace, your tent meaning your household, or for kadta navcha, and you'll look after your household, v'loy sechta, and you won't sin. So we see from that it's a good thing to marry off your children when they were below bar bas mitzvah. Tosfos actually discusses that not necessarily is there nisuin for a katan. But nevertheless, b'dieved, he did marry him off. So we see that such a marriage is valid. Anyway, the point is that before we said that a man should not marry off his son when he's young, because again, then the wife is not going to be able to have hana from that, because they can't have tashmish yet, and therefore she's going to start looking elsewhere. Meanwhile, we're saying over here that's a good thing to marry him off samoch lapirkan. So the Gemara answers, that's exactly it. Samoch lapirkan, shiny. It's different when there's samoch lapirkan. It's close enough to the age when they'll be able to do bia that therefore there's no problem with it. But you marry them off much younger than you have a problem. So that's how we reconcile it. That's the difference between the two. Whether we're doing it far before bar mitzvah, bar or bas mitzvah age, or whether we're doing it at the proper time. The Yad Ramah brings over here actually that we can learn each of these things. We can learn from this pasuk. It's not just the pasuk saying generically you take care of things in your household and everything will be good. He says the Yadaita Kishalom Olacha refers to Shalom with his wife when he loves his wife Kigufa and Machabdi Yosef Migufa. That promotes Shalom Bayis. So that's the Shalom Olacha. Or for Kadta Novcha, meaning your household, your sons and daughters. Or for Kadta, you keep an eye on them and make sure that they're behaving in the right way. That's Madrichem Bederech Yishara. That's madrich bonum of noisav v'derech yishara. V'loy sechta means, in other words, that you're causing there won't be averus, namely because that once you do that, then you're saved from chet. So each phrase in the pasuk is actually hinting at something that was in this braisa. The Gemara continues, Tanan Rabbanan, ha'oyhev eschenav, a person who loves his neighbors, v'amakarev eskroivav, and brings his relatives close, in other words, his relatives are in trouble, or they're poor, or whatever, and he helps them out. V'anoseh esbasa choysoy, and a man who marries his niece. The point of his niece is it's his closest relative who is actually mutter to him. So that promotes greater ava between husband and wife. There is discussion in other places. We've shown him discuss the question. Do we mean davka his when we say his niece basa choisei, his wife his sister's daughter? Does it mean davka his sister's daughter? Rashi elsewhere explains that it actually means his brother's daughter too. The point is, in other words, since they're blood relations and it's the closest blood relation, that's mutter al pi halacha, then therefore they'll be very affectionate to one another. B'chlam, Mefarshim say, really, you would think with Arayas in general, close relatives, they're going to get along well. But nevertheless, the Torah bans Arayas for a variety of reasons. But here you have where they are close blood relations and it's mutter, and therefore there'll be love between them. There are Mephoshim who explain that actually it means more the sister's daughter, more even so than the brother's daughter, for a number of reasons. One of them being that the sister, one of them being because a man is often closer emotionally with his sister, and therefore that'll transfer to his sister's daughter much more so than to his brother's daughter. Anyway, so all of those, and also a person who lends a sella to a person, to a poor person, when he's having a hard time.
Never in a good time.
Well, in other words, so one, there is actually an interesting explanation that b'shas doichkei means when the giver is b'shas doichkei, he himself is barely making ends meet, but still he gives a sella to an oni. All of our kosav omer on such people, the posik says, oz tikra v'ashem yana, then you will call out and Hashem will answer you. In other words, these are great schosim. Tosfos points out, actually, as far as the malva sella la'oni, that it depends. Not always is it a good thing. Say, for example, Tosfos brings that that the government is coming to dun him for taxes. Now, the government is likely to say, if you don't have money, listen, you can't get blood out of a stone, we'll leave you alone. So at that point, if you were to lend the poor person money, then the government is saying, oh, you do have money after all, so then we're going to take it from you. So then it winds up that giving him the money, lending him the money, turned out to be to his detriment. Here we're talking about you're lending him money, push it for food. So therefore, that's a very good thing indeed. And for that, a person deserves a special reward from Hashem. Tosfos also discusses other possibilities. There can be a difference whether you give the money to the poor person, but sinner or b'fahasya, etc.
What if I had in this case? This past week, I went into a restaurant to get a bite.
Yes.
As I sat there, buffer, this guy was leaving out somebody. He's been 7 stars. He can eat in the dorm, but he came over to me and he asked me for.
Okay, you know what? Actually, we have to. You know what? You want to discuss this later? Actually, let's. Yeah, we have a little ground to cover still. Okay, yeah, I'm sure you give somebody food. You give somebody money for food is bedet of klal, a good thing. Okay, so I'll just take care of Hashem Yana. You should have that bracha. There is, by the way, it's brought in Savasa of Yehuda Achosid that a person shouldn't marry his niece, and there's a lot of discussion how that fits with our Gemara over here. Maybe we should discount that entirely. Maybe it applies only to his. Maybe in general the things in Savasa of Yehuda Achosid apply only to his descendants. Maybe you can be mechalik between different cases. Anyway, okay. The Gemara continues. Tanan Abanan. Now, we talked in the Mishnah about, again, we said a man is mezana with his mother-in-law or his grandmother-in-law, etc. So we said the pasuk describes ba'ish yisufu oisev eshen. Now, the word eshen can't mean both of them because, for example, if it's his wife and his wife's mother, why should his wife be chayav misa? She didn't do anything wrong. So when the pasuk says oisev eshen, it means oisev es achas mehen divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that means him and one of them. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva Omer Oisev es Shtehen. Rabbi Akiva says no, it means him and both of them. Now, obviously, Rabbi Akiva can't mean again that we're talking about, let's say, his wife and he's mezana with her mother, that his wife should be chayav misa. So we're going to explain what does Rabbi Akiva mean. My Beinayu, what is the actual underlying difference between them? Amar Abaye, Mashmos Doshim Ika Beinayu. So Abaye says it's just a machlokas of how to douche in the posik. Do we understand the word eshen to be one of them, or do we mean that, what does it mean exactly? So Rabbi Shmuel Savar Oisev es hen means Oisev es achas mehen. It means him and one of them, the one with which it is nus. Shekain b'loshin yevani koyin l'achas hina, because in Greek the word for one is hina, like the word hen in the pasuk. So es hen would mean in one of them. We've talked about before something that the Shalom HaKadosh brings, that when we, a lot of times the Gemara Darshan's words based on foreign languages. We also have Tapa Kaspi Shtayim, Paspa Afriki Shtayim. We have a number of other examples. The Shalom HaKadosh explains these are words that were originally part of Lashon Kodesh and then were dropped out of use in Lashon Kodesh and remained in other languages, and now the Torah used them now Hashem used them in the Torah, and the Chachamim are uncovering them for us. Anyway, so Rabbi Shmuel learns that way. So he would say the Eim Chamoisa Midrasha Asya. So he would say, in other words, that the pasuk is saying that he's chayev for that he and one of them is chayev misa. Which one, namely his mother-in-law? But so we're talking about, in other words, according to Rabbi Shmuel, he was mezana with his mother-in-law and his grandmother-in-law. The Eim Chamoisa Midrasha Asya, and the fact that he's chayev misa for having relations with his grandmother-in-law, that we learned from a drasha like we learned earlier. Rabbi Akiva Sava, Oisev es hen, means Oisev es shtehen, and Rabbi Akiva would hold that it means both of them, in other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, both of them are actually mentioned in the pasuk. So it comes out, in other words, there's no nafka mina lahalocha, according to Abaya, the question is just basically, is the grandmother-in-law explicit in the pasuk, or are we learning her only from a drasha? According to Rabbi Akiva, it says explicitly in the pasuk, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, we're learning from a drasha. That's according to Abaya. So he would say, so Rabbi Akiva Sava, Oisev es hen, it means Oisev es shtehen. Namely, he says, Eim Chamoise Hochok Siva. Right here is where we say, that his grandmother-in-law, he'd be chayev misa for. Rava Omar, Rava says there's an actual machlokas and halacha between them. The nafkamina between them would be, what if he has relations with his mother-in-law after his wife dies? Rabbi Shmuel holds it doesn't matter. The fact that the pasuk says eshen means one of them, means even if only one of them is alive, then nevertheless there's still a chiyuv misa for the other. So obviously Rabbi Shmuel is saying, in other words, that if it was his wife and his mother-in-law, his wife can't be chayav misa. The point is, though, Rabbi Shmuel is saying, when is the chiyuv misa for his mother-in-law? Only if both of them are alive, but not if only, and then we're saying one out of the two of them is chayav misa, but only, but, uh, but, but, uh, Oh, no, sorry, Rabbi Shmuel is saying faket. Because it says es hen and one of them, it means even if only one of them is alive, then she's going to be chayev misa. So even if his wife is dead, but his mother-in-law is still alive, and he's mezana with her, nevertheless, there'd be a chiyuv misa. Rabbi Akiva sova isur ba'alma, Rabbi Akiva would hold, since he holds es hen, means both of them, means not that both of them are chayev misa, but both of them have to be alive for there to be a chiyuv misa. If his wife dies, and then he has relations with her mother, Rabbi Akiva holds that there's only an isur involved, but there's no chiyuv misa. Whether it means that they be chayiv koris or malchus, that is macholikus rishonim on that point. Whether in that case, Rabbi Akiva, Rashi explains in that case, we're not even learning from the posik from the psukim here in Parshas Arayis at all. Rather, we're learning from in Parshas Kisava by the Brachos Haklolos, where it says oru shoychevim chesantoi. So in that case, there's an oru, there's a curse on it. But in other words, there's not necessarily any. Not only is there no sreifa, but there's not necessarily any kores on it either. And there are other rishonim who learn the same way as well. On the other hand, Tosfos and the Rambam says there is kores. All there is there's no sreifa. So that covers all the cases where people are chayiv seifa, and then the next Mishnah, which we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, is going to start talking about the people who are chayiv hereg.
Thank you.